Lekutei Sichos, Chelek Chaf Beis, Volume 22, Achrei, Sicha Aleph, Sicha 1. In the beginning of this week's Torah portion, when God tells Moshe to instruct Aaron that one cannot enter the Holy of Holies at any time, and that there is special protocol for entering, and an aspect of this is the requirement to wear, as is described in verse 4 in chapter 16, the Ksenas Bad Kodesh, the sacral linen tunic with linen breeches next to his flesh, and girded with a linen sash and a linen turban. Rashi explains the words Ksenas Bad Kodesh, the sacral linen tunic, and says, Magid, She'enei Mishamish Lifnim, Bishmeina Begodim, Shehu Mishamish Bahen Bachutz. Only these four are enumerated to tell us that when Aaron enters the Holy of Holies, he does not come in garbed in his eight garments that are worn in his service otherwise outside the Holy of Holies. Sheyesh bahem zohov, because they contain gold. Lefi she'en kateger nases sanegar, ela barba kechayen hedyot v'chulon shalbutz. And gold was used in the building of the golden calf and would thus serve as prosecutorial, turning the holy vestments into prosecutors against the Jewish nation rather than serving as a defense for the Jewish people on the holy day of Yom Kippur when the high priest enters the Holy of Holies. He should instead wear the four garments of the regular priest, which are made of linen. Seemingly, Rashi intends to explain why the verse mentions the Kohen garbing himself with a sacral linen tunic, as though it's new information when, in fact, we have been previously instructed about both the creating of these garments and the obligation to wear them in the portion of Tetzaveh. Therefore, we might wonder what God intends to add in this instruction to Aaron here in Achrei. And thus Rashi explains that the verse intends to instruct Magid, not regarding the four garments to be worn, but to instruct that it's only these four garments that are worn, and not the full eight, which we learned about earlier in the portion of Tetzaveh, which Aaron always wore in his service outside the Holy of Holies. But what's puzzling after giving this explanation for Rashi is that usually the word magid that Rashi uses, the word magid meaning he comes to instruct, is used by Rashi when the instruction that Rashi will teach is not clearly delineated in the verse. And Rashi's explanation highlights a point that is not clear. But here the instruction regarding the linen garments is made very clear in the verse. Rashi's conclusion too requires clarification, as Rashi lists the four garments made of linen, though they're clearly stated in the verse. Secondly, what is Rashi adding when he tells us that the high priest is to wear the four linen garments like an ordinary priest, when we already know, again from the portion of Tetzaveh, that it's the ordinary priest who only wears the four garments? Why is it at all significant that it's like the ordinary priest? Then Rashi adds that they're all made of linen. This too is clearly stated in the verse. So what information is Rashi adding with these words? Perhaps we could explain that Rashi wants to negate a completely different possible interpretation of the verse. And that is that when we study the verse and the words Ksenas Bad Kodesh, the sacral linen tunic and the other linen garments, we might wonder, as we already know that Aaron the high priest had eight garments which were worn to honor and glorify the priesthood and the service, why then when going into the Holy of Holies at one time a year on Yom Kippur would he garb himself in only four of the garments, not the other four, which seems to reduce the status of the glory of the priesthood? From that perspective, we would understand that the verse isn't saying that he must wear only the four garments, because clearly he would be wearing the eight holy vestments, but the other four must be woven differently, the four garments. The Ksenas Bad are of a single linen thread and not made of sheish mashsar, six linen threads intertwined, And therefore, because of this change, only the four garments are mentioned. And this is what Rashi wants to negate with this explanation that begins with the word Magid, comes to tell us, not as one might think, looking at the verse, that the verse wants to detail the change from threads to a single thread garment in the four garments, but the other four are still worn, but that the other four, the golden vestments, are not worn. The garments the Kohen Gadol wears outside of the Holy of Holies to bring the sacrifices are not worn, and only these four that the ordinary Kohen wears regularly are worn to enter the Holy of Holies. There's a challenge in this explanation, however. In addition to the fact that the word Magid still seems superfluous, because at the end of it all, Rashi is not adding anything to the verse. He only negates a possible incorrect interpretation of the verse. The end of Rashi's explanation when he says that the four garments worn are like that of the ordinary Kohen and that they're all of linen is not only completely superfluous, but those very words can be misleading in that they seem to highlight these four garments that the verse mentions and suggest that these garments are both single thread linen, which we said Rashi intends to negate as the reason for these words in his explanation. Mentioning the four garments in the verse tells us that the four garments are not mentioned. Four garments not mentioned are not worn. This can all be understood as follows. The intention of Rashi is to answer the question that the verse arouses, which is why does the verse mention these garments that the Kohen will wear here, that the high priest will wear? Why mention them here? It would seem more accurate to mention the garments that the high priest will wear immediately before the Torah tells us which sacrifices will be brought on Yom Kippur and what the service is on that day, or perhaps after the Torah instructs Aaron regarding the entire day's service. It should then instruct that the Avodah is done, the service will be done in these garments. The fact that the verse tells us, adding, so to speak, the wearing of these four garments, immediately after telling us of the chatas and the ola offerings, we might think that these garments are to be worn when these specific sacrifices dedicated to the day of Yom Kippur are brought. But later verses make it clear that the ola sacrifice is in fact brought when the Kohen Gadol wears all the eight priestly garments, and that there are other parts of the service that the Kohen does only garbed in the four garments. Therefore, Rashi explains that it comes to teach us that when the Kohen Gadol enters the Holy of Holies, he enters only in the four garments of boots, even though looking at the verse it seems to indicate that the service of sacrifices of the chatas and the oila are done in these garments. This is not the correct understanding of the verse or of the actual events. The verse intends to tell us that when the Kohen enters the Holy of Holies, he does not do so garbed in the eight priestly vestments that he wears when he fulfills the priestly service outside of the Holy of Holies. So the sacrifices he will bring outside will be done wearing the eight garments, but any of the service done inside or for the purpose of the inner service will be done wearing only the four linen garments. This is the reason why the garments are mentioned in this verse specifically. After the verse tells us that Aaron will enter the Holy of Holies, and not before mentioning all the sacrifices and not after mentioning all the Yom Kippur sacrifices, because the verse is about Aaron's presence in the Holy of Holies on the day of Yom Kippur, which constitutes a different service, a service inside the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, one cannot serve in those eight garments that are used outside, not outside in general, but outside the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur itself. Accordingly, we can explain the surprising issue that arises, which Rashi does not address, since the prosecutor cannot become the defender. And thus the Kohen Gadol does not wear gold into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. Again, the gold reminds us of the sin of the golden calf, and on this Day of Atonement, we do not want this event remembered. Why does the Kohen Gadol wear the gold garments at all on Yom Kippur? This is not as significant throughout the rest of the year, even when the Kohen brings a sin offering. But on the day of Yom Kippur, when we seek atonement, we make sure not to make room for anything to stand in prosecution of our people. of our nation. But why then is any part of the service on this day, whether in the Holy of Holies or outside, done in gold garments? And the explanation is alluded to in the fact that the instruction to wear Ksenes Bad, a linen tunic, follows the words, "So shall Aaron come into the Holy of Holies." With this introduction, the verse teaches us that the point of Yom Kippur is that on this day Aaron will enter the Holy of Holies. Aaron entering the Holy of Holies will bring atonement for the nation. There is a correct way for this to happen, and that is the specific sacrifices, is with specific sacrifices, and with the four linen vestments, ensuring that there is nothing that stands in the way of our atonement on the day of Yom Kippur. So what about all the additional points and the questions that we asked earlier about the extra points that Rashi makes? If the point Rashi is making is that the four golden garments must not be worn into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, then these golden garments are prohibited in the Holy of Holies so that they do not become prosecutorial. What about what we learned in the portion of Tzaveh, which teaches us about the garments of the priests worn so that the service in the temple is with glory and honor, and one who serves without the appropriate garments is deserving of death? How then can these very garments become prohibited? The Kohen would then be divested of this complete honor and glory when he wears only a portion of and not the full complement of priestly garments as usual. Also, if there was a particular law regarding the garments of the Kohen Yom Kippur, in other words, that on this day the high priest has a completely different set of garments for the day of Yom Kippur, then this would not be so surprising. Just like there are eight garments that the Torah determined for the Kohen Gadol to wear every other day of the year, the Torah determined four garments that were designed for the Kohen Gadol to wear on Yom Kippur. But once Rashi tells us that there is no such law or designation particular to the garments worn by the Kohen on Yom Kippur, it's just forbidden for him to enter the Holy of Holies with golden garments on Yom Kippur, then we have to ask. At the end of it all, it turns out that it's dafka on the day of Yom Kippur that the high priest's garments and the wholeness of them and the glory are lacking. Therefore, Rashi has to point out, the high priest wears the four garments on Yom Kippur, garments of the ordinary priest. He does not enter wearing the four linen garments out of the eight garments he usually wears. Rather, because on this day he functions as a hedjet, as an ordinary priest, he only wears those four garments. And now we can understand the conclusion of Rashi when he says, and they are all linen. Rashi says this with the intention that we understand that it is not only so that the clothes the high priest wears don't bear some level of prosecutorial witness against us, but also to bring proof that on this day in the Holy of Holies, the high priest's service is that of an ordinary priest. How do we see this? In the portion of Pekudei, when the belt of the Kohen is described, we learn that it is made of shesh marsar, the entwined strands of linen, as well as varied colors of embroidered woolen materials. In the portion of Tetzaveh, we know only that the belt must be embroidered, without telling us of which textiles, and only in Pekudei do we learn of the varying textiles. Thus, the belt that Aaron wore was not only made of linen in his regular service, it was also of wool. So when the Torah tells us that Aaron, in this chapter, must wear a belt of linen to go into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, and only the ordinary Kohanim wore only linen belts, Rashi must tell us it was the four garments of the ordinary Kohen that were worn to go into the Holy of Holies. Thus Rashi is teaching that this indicates that Aaron going into the Holy of Holies was entering like an ordinary Kohen and not like a Kohen Gadol. There is, the Rebbe teaches, an amazing concept in halacha that is learned from this Rashi. And significantly, Rashi differs in his understanding of the categories of the garments of the high priest on Yom Kippur to the opinion of Maimonides. Maimonides says that the garments of the priest can be divided into three categories: the garments of the ordinary priests, the golden garments of the high priests, and the white garments. Maimonides teaches that the white garments of Yom Kippur were indeed a separate set and category of garments, so that on Yom Kippur the high priest would wear this set, and not only four of the eight that he normally wore for the service in the temple. Rashi, however, says that the four garments that the high priest wears when inside the Holy of Holies are four of the eight garments of the high priest, the same four that the ordinary priest wears. Rashi and Maimonides differ too in the obligation, in their opinion of the obligation to wear these white garments, with Maimonides of the opinion that the unique service of Yom Kippur requires these white garments be worn, that the white garments are an aspect of the day's service, which brings up the question regarding the Eilat sacrifice, the unique sacrifice of the day of Yom Kippur, which is not performed in white garments. Rashi, on the other hand, connects the obligation of white garments with being inside the Holy of Holies. In Rashi's opinion, the white garments are not about the day's offerings or service, but about the place where the particular part of the service is. Whatever is done inside or relevant to the inside of the Holy of Holies requires the white garments. Because, as we said, according to Rashi, the essence of atonement manifests with Aaron entering the Holy of Holies, while the service is only a medium to entering this holy space. Perhaps we can suggest that these two ideas, whether the white garments are an obligation or it's about not wearing the gold ones, and if the white garments are an obligation to facilitate the essence of the day, entering the Holy of Holies, or about the service of the day, these are all in fact bound up in one another. Were we to say that there's a specific law and obligation to wear white garments, it makes sense to say that this is an aspect of and connected to the service of the day, just like the garments worn are generally connected to the service of the priests. So too, there's a special obligation to wear white garments as part of the unique service of the day. But if wearing white garments is only because one may not wear the gold, it makes sense to say that the prohibition isn't connected to the actual service, but to the place of the service, which prohibits the wearing of gold. From the explanation that Rashi gives, we learn a special teaching in our divine service. When a Jew wants to come close to God to be purified and to bring others close to God and closer to Torah mitzvahs, he must first of all know that he is obligated to go inside. He is obligated to mine his own soul to the deepest parts, and only with this strength will he be able to bring atonement and purification to himself and to another. The way to mine the soul is by losing the gold garments and the need for honor and for glorification. As long as one is still interested in those aspects, one cannot mine deeply into one's own soul, get to the essence of the purpose for which God created him. Only when one feels like just an ordinary priest, garbed in white garments made of linen only, can one access the light of the essence of his reality. Only then is one worthy of entering inside and manifesting atonement and purification, not only for himself, but for another too, until one can ultimately bring atonement for himself, for his household, and for the entire congregation of Israel.